Welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's the On Texas Football Tuesday live stream presented by Texas Electricity Ratings, powered by Texas Electricity Ratings. Appreciate everybody being with us. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. That means the Longhorns are coming back to campus to begin the push towards the 2024 college football season, which is exciting for everybody. A lot of optimism, a lot of conversation. Also brings us the SEC spring meetings, which have opened this week in Sandestin, just outside of Destin, Florida there. We'll talk about what Steve Sarkisian had to say today in his first official conversation with the SEC gathered media, as the Longhorns will be officially part of the Southeastern Conference beginning in about 5 weeks, guys. We'll fire this up July 1st. The Longhorns will jump into the Southeastern Conference. So they're a part of SEC meetings and media days. We'll be about 48 days from now, middle of July, but this is the spring meetings that they have every year. So the Longhorns kind of getting to know everybody and introduced officially and all that that goes on. So we'll talk about that, recruiting, Longhorns coming back to campus, and the countdown begins for the Texas football season 95 days from today when they host the Colorado State Rams in their first game of what everybody feels is going to be a great college football season for the Longhorns. Guys, how we doing? Everybody have a good Memorial Day, ready to roll, ready to talk some football. Guys returning to campus, CJ, I know that's important as everybody kind of has May off after school ended. After spring practice was over, everybody rolls back in and gets back to business.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. I'm sure we're the only ones looking forward to that. You know, those guys have been away from school, the program, for about a month now. I'm sure they're eager to get back around the team and around their teammates once again, but I'm sure they're not looking forward to the heat that's coming. Afternoon workouts, Rod, you can talk about this here in a little bit as well. But, you know, these guys getting ready to get back started at 2 p.m., 4 p.m., whenever it is. They'll be outside in the afternoon, most of the afternoon after morning meetings. That's not going to be very fun for them, but it is very important for the Texas football team. I was actually talking with Devin Lemire today. He's all Big 12 safety for Baylor, who reports back next week. I was at a BAM performance, Bernard Blake session again this afternoon, and he was out there. And I asked him, I was like, I mean, start back up in a week. You excited? And he looks at me and goes, man, this is my fourth one. He's like, I'm not excited for this. I understand it. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not excited. And I can't blame him at all. So I'm sure many guys on the Texas team feel the same way. But for us, hey, we'll finally have something to talk about for this team, right? This is the first time, first week, that you'll have the entire 2024 roster together, coming together, working out, getting acclimated with one another. Big time for everybody. I'm looking forward to it. And Rod, I'm sure – you know, it's much nicer being in the AC than it is back out on those hills and the sand dunes, whatever they might be working on now. That can't be looking too much fun at that time.
Nah, man, I get them flashbacks. I still remember them. We did, all the stuff that Mad Dog creatively could come up with. It almost felt like he was just coming up with creative forms of torture at one point. We had the weight vest in the sand pit. That was anytime you'd walk out there and you saw those weight vests, you go, damn. You already knew. It was like, oh, this is gonna be a long day. It's like, oh, put the weight vest on. Usually that go to the sand pit. We had those. We had 1,000-yard shuttles sometimes where it was just the 1,000-yard shuttle. Oh, that was also equally brutal because you would do multiple 1,000-yard shuttles in the day. Oh man, no, Mad Dog was a creative genius when it came to trying to cultivate mental toughness in those periods. That's kind of what he was about, but he called it Hall. HAW, hard ass work. All right, it's time to get some in, gentlemen. So I still remember it, man. I literally can get flashbacks about it. But it is, and the team building though is really something you cannot, you really can't put a price on. It's hard to quantify that team building that happens. This is when the leaders, they assert themselves, right? Because the leaders, listen, to lead on a football team, lead on any team, really you got to lead by example. So you got to be a productive player on the field. But behind the scenes, to gain that credibility with your teammates, they want to see those guys who are the best athletes and the best players on the field on game days also be the guys that's putting in the most work. That's what the coaches are getting out. The coaches ain't out there, but they get all the reports, so the coaches know. All right, they know who's out there. They get performance reports now. More detailed. We were talking to the sports science director over there at Texas. On our third Longhorns podcast, shout out to my man Nick Shuley and Alex Okafor and Jeremy Hills and Fozzie Whitaker and Derek Johnson. And she was telling us about how you know, they get all the GPS tracking of performances real time during the workouts. So they know if, oh yeah, he only gave 85% today, just so you know. It's based on the chart, all the data that says, yeah, he didn't give 100%. He gave 85%. Like, I would hate, would you hate to have that?
I
like,
hated that.
Oh, dude, like, man, what? That is brutal. I cannot imagine. Like, because I was, I could give like about 87%, 88%, and then, you know, nobody would call me out. So I'm still up there toward the top. But now these guys literally have sports, you know, performance directors and data scientists that are saying, yeah, just so you know, right here, I got the analytics that says you are at 83%. And he's like, I'm tired as hell. What do you mean? So it is, it's next level of suffering. But it's also, like I said, equally rewarding because of the team building that takes place during that time. You suffer together, man. Ain't nothing like suffering together. Y'all know how that go. You know what I mean? You suffer together, and then you start building. And then the guys who are the great players, though, those are the guys who should be leading these workouts, right? You start bringing these freakish athletes. Those are the guys who should be leading the workouts too in the end. And then those are the guys who should be motivating their teammates. They're like, hey, you know what? No. I'm at the front. I'm at the front of these drills. You know, hey, I'm motivating my guys. Get up. Let's, you know, hey, don't get on the knee. Don't get down. You know, let's motivate each other. Hold each other accountable during those workouts. And, you know, we all have a common goal. Remember what the common goal is. So it's, like I said, it's almost a spiritual experience sometimes because it's hot. Like CJ says, it's hot. Everybody's out there sweating. Guys damn near ready to pass out sometimes in those workouts, and you're trying to uplift each other, right? You got each other there to uplift each other. The coaches, they want to see that too. They want to see you motivate and uplift each other. So I can't wait. Like I said, I hated it, but also I knew that that's where you start the championship process, and it has to hurt. Otherwise, it ain't worth it. Like Mac Brown would say, if it was easy, everybody would do it. That's why everybody ain't doing it.
That's right.
Those catapult vests, they'll single you out if you're taking a knee on those planks, Rob. That's for sure. You can't get away with that when the coaches aren't looking anymore.
Nope. You can't take that. I used to say, exactly. We used to hide the reps. I don't hide this rep right here. You know what I mean? Coach ain't going to see me. I'm on the outside. I look like I'm moving fast. I got my arms like this. No, they can call you straight out because they got the data. I can't. So I can't imagine what these young guys are going through. You know, that I do not want to be a part of. I don't want to have that conversation.
The data is pretty cool, though. I know Quinn, in preparation of the NCAA cover game coming out, there's an interview there of some folks that were at the Cotton Bowl in which he was getting interviewed. He said he hit 20 miles per hour on the catapult vest. I think Arch Manning a little bit faster than that, maybe 22 for Arch. I know that's really moving for him, but that was about a year ago. So we'll see what's going on there. But the more that you learn about these guys and what they can do during the offseason, the more you can expect and kind of be optimistic for going into the fall. So for Quinn, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of number he hits again. I know that's a little bit more and more that we've seen every year in his game in terms of the running ability. We'll see if he cracks a PR there at L.
Hey, we talked to Sam Contorno. I believe that's her name. Kind of applied science, basically the sports science director there at UT. I'm sure I am disrespecting her title, exactly what it is. But that's basically what it gets to the gist of it. That's what she does. And she says they post all the times for everything every day because the guys are so competitive. So when they do workouts and the guys, you know, whatever their MPH was or whatever, they do different. I say different like metrics that they analyze every day in terms of the speed that the guys are moving, that kind of stuff. And that measures short area quickness. And she says they post them every day. And the guys that they talk about it, debate it, and they're competitive about it. And they bring it up to her and they bring it up to each other. So that's another way of kind of just cultivating the competitive environment around there, even in a situation like, you know, off season workouts where it's tough for guys because they're not necessarily motivated to do it, but the competitors, they still stand out even in those moments. They still want to be the best. They still want to have the top times. So that's something that stands out too, that I thought was really interesting.
That is interesting. That's I was thinking as you were saying that, Rod, that's fascinating stuff. I mean, we know they can monitor them, but to hear it from the person that's in charge of it, and so it's like, it's not even like a gotcha game. They just put it up on the wall and guys can go back and look after practice or look after a workout and see, you know, if they improved. I mean, that's pretty cool. Then because you it's one of those where you think, well, a coach might, hey, I got you on this, I got you on that. No, this is just here's the information. It's available to everybody, and the competitive nature is what you want, because I mean, Sark talks about it and the staff on the recruiting trail, guys. You want competitive people. I mean, you want guys who came from great programs. You want guys who want to compete at everything, you know, and play for one another, but compete with one another so they make each other better. That's pretty cool that you can see and chart your own progress on a day-by-day basis. That's technology, like as we're all learning, is coming fast and furious.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's next. Like, it's something new. Like, and I believe the field of, you know, sports science in terms of the technological age of it is relatively new, where they have the catapult vests, as CJ was talking about, and all the different ways to analyze you in terms of the metrics of how you're moving, how your body moves. And it's fascinating to me. I would have loved it, but like I said, also there would have been, I'd have hated it at the same time. But I'm a data guy, so I want the data, and I'd like to be able to measure how you're improving. So, you know, and they were talking about, you know, how you gain weight, how you put weight on guys, but also have them keep their speed. And that's one of the things that is a challenge, but data and the sports science movement has made that easier. Put weight on guys, but also be able to document literally day to day. Oh, are they still the same? Are they still moving at the same MPH? Are they faster? Do they have even more acceleration? You know, burst, everything that guys want to improve on. You say, hey, man, I want to improve on my short area quickness. I want to improve on my first, you know, first step. I want to improve my first 10 yards, all that stuff. Now you actually can go to a sports science person, a director, a data scientist, and go, all right, I know you got all the data. Can you track how I'm improving in that metric day to day? And can we talk about that? And just, oh, they're like, yeah, of course. And we'll send you the output. We'll send you all the results of how you're tracking day to day in that metric as you gain weight and as you put on mass. Fascinating. And everybody individualized their own individualized plan. Like I said, we were just trying to get mental toughness. That was mad. I was like, mental toughness. That's it. And fight through the pain. That's where you actually get the reward. I mean, it's like, yeah, we were getting that. But now you actually have data that can track and quantify, you know, those gains and what you're trying to achieve and isolate it. And, you know what I mean? And get very specific in what you want, as opposed to, I'm just trying to become a mentally tough football player. Oh, I'm just trying to get faster. Oh, I'm just trying to gain 20. I'm just trying to gain 15 pounds. It was like, well, you want to keep your, as you gain it, or you want to lose weight. It's like, can you keep your strength as you lose that weight? All those different things. Now the data revolution can help you achieve them, or it can help you solve those problems. It's fascinating. I probably would have went into the industry after football if I had that science industry. Because it's the same thing. It's like analytics in sports too, but now it's analytics on the side of training and the development too. Fascinating stuff, mate.
Well, and Rod, I assume that this can help with injuries too, right? I mean, you can start to predict like wear and tear and guys that maybe are soft tissue injuries that might be overuse kind of injuries. I mean, that's something coaches are, and the medical staff, training staff will be, you know, eager to see.
Yep, it's exactly right. This is it. Whether you're overcompensating, so guys that have had injuries in the past, now how you tracking how your body movements, and if, oh, you know what? Yeah, you do actually, because you have one leg longer than the other one, or one, you know, foot longer than the other one. You do run like this, and that may wear down on your right foot or your left foot. It's like I said, it really is next level. And it's just going to make you better the more you accept it. And Sark, speaking of, he was in that, you know, media availability he had today. I love how accepting he is of change, even when, you know, he's talking kind of like he's maybe being critical of the downsides of the, you know, the progress that we're having. He wants to make people understand that he is accepting a change, and that he believes that it's good to evolve and to be progressive with ideas and accepting of the kind of new ideas. So I think Sark is the perfect guy to, you know, lead Texas in the new era of college football. Because even in the, like I said, it's more than just Sark there, but even the sports science department, they seem to be fully and wholeheartedly accepting of that as an advantage that also can be gained for the players and also for the program.
Yeah, got to think that's a recruiting tool, too, when you're trying to bring in young athletes that want to develop for the next level, and development is a big key. We'll get to what Sark had to say today in Sandestin, Florida. The SEC spring meetings are underway. Started yesterday with Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, press conference and availability today. Sark and Rodney Terry both were talking about Texas football, Texas basketball, obviously introducing themselves to the media that covers the Southeastern Conference. But before we get into that, CJ, some recruiting and where we stand now as far as all that goes. You know, there's been some commitments over the last couple of days over the weekend, Memorial Day, for a lot of people kind of unplug and want to catch back up on what's going on. What's the very latest with the Longhorns current and what's to come?
Yeah, of course. Texas celebrated Memorial Day weekend with a trio of commitments. Obviously a trio of triplets, and you don't see that all too often. The Coleman brothers all committed to Texas. Devin and Jordan both will be on scholarship. Isaiah, the defensive lineman, and smaller of the brother at 6'2", 300 pounds. He will be the preferred walk-on defensive lineman. Of course, really, really cool to see all three of them get to share this experience together. Devin and Jordan, of course, will be playing on the offensive line. Coach Flood adds to his room now with three commitments in the 2025 class, along with Jackson Christian out of Port Neches Grove. So a good start to that group. Of course, the big dogs still available for Texas at the moment in terms of the offensive line. That's Michael Fasusi. That's Nick Brooks. That's John Mills. We'll see where they go there, of course, with the June month right around the corner. You'll start to see as well how important these June summer official visits are for the Texas Longhorns. There's also a commitment scheduled for tomorrow. So we will see exactly what goes on with James Simon, the running back at a Calvary Baptist Academy in Shreveport, Louisiana. Right now, Texas is perceived to be the leader industry-wide. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody at the moment. He was down in Texas April 20th for the spring game, back again face with Tashard Choice, who made the trip out to Shreveport to go see him in person just a week after that. So a lot heading in Texas's direction at the moment. Again, Texas is the only school at the moment to have a official visit scheduled for James Simon as well. That's scheduled for June 21st through 23rd. So all signs pointing towards Texas, all signs heading towards the Longhorns earning another commitment, their second running back of the class tomorrow. One other note, Zion Williams, Jerry put this up on TexasFootball.com earlier today. Zion Williams, the big 320-pound over-the-nose defensive lineman from Lufkin, looking like LSU's that team to beat at the moment. That's, of course, due to his relationship with Bo Davis, the former Texas defensive line coach, now at LSU, looking like they're the team to beat as well. Tyler Thomas, offensive lineman out of Dickinson. No official visit for him in June. He committed to Texas A&M earlier this afternoon. And, of course, Juan Gaston, one of those big-time offensive linemen from Georgia. I do not believe he is expected to be making his official visit to Austin either. And that is, again, all reports from Jerry earlier today. He did a great job, you know, kind of rounding those up and putting those up on TexasFootball.com. So if you want them immediately and don't have to wait till 7:31 p.m., go on and hit us up in the On Texas Football community at OnTexasFootball.com.
Hey, the triplets. I mean, I know we remember the Brockmeyer twins. We all remember that. We've seen brothers land in the same place, but that's pretty weird to have triplets. Those are some big babies. Normally triplets, you know, are kind of smaller kids. These are not small kids out of Cedar Hill. Obviously Kyle Flood has a great idea of what he's looking for and evaluation and the big humans conversation. But Rod, you know, all three brothers, triplets rolling into Texas. That's crazy, right? I don't need that. I don't need that grocery bill right now, I can tell you that.
Yeah. No, I was trying to ask Jerry Hamilton and CJ. I know CJ's younger and Jerry's a little bit older. Have they ever heard of anything like that in recruiting, period, anywhere, of triplets? Not only, first of all, the odds of having triplets that can play at the highest levels of college football, and then having triplets all commit to the same program. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's ever happened. First of all, having triplets, period, it's the odds of it. Somebody's got to do the math. I'm not smart enough to do it. But that is wild. And I will say this, too. I brought this up. We were talking to Coach Bob Shipley, who's part of a great familial legacy here at the University of Texas. I would put Texas sports familial legacies, just any type of family connection, you know, brothers, you know, father, son, you know, uncle, mom, son, mom, daughter, whatever, you know, husband, wife. I think Texas sports probably would have more familial connections or as many as any major program in the country. Like that, it's, I mean, there's easily like 25 to 30 that you probably can write down just in the next 10 minutes if we had time. It's crazy how many of them are. Now, I, like I said, I if I had time, because I don't anymore because I have a 7-month-old. If I had time, I'd probably go try to sit down and do a deep dive research. All right. So keep throwing this out there because I want somebody who does have the time to do it. Because I think it'll be pretty interesting. And I bet Texas will be at the top of the list, if not at the top of the list, period. I bet they would be. Like Texas sports, not just football, baseball. Hell, somebody sent me a swimming and diving one not too long ago. And I was like, no, it's just, it goes deep, man. Texas sports, it's a family thing. Yeah, street family. I mean, it's deep. Yeah, CB. Yep. CB probably, like I said, Bill Little, the late, great Bill Little, probably had a master list somewhere, and maybe they do over there in Texas have a master list. About John Bianco maybe would help us out with it.
Yeah, 100%. And now we have triplets rolling in here, triplets, without a doubt. And obviously, Coach Shipley had both of his sons play at Texas, and that's been over and over again. And it's pretty incredible, without a doubt. All right. So anything else, CJ, on the recruiting front? I know, I mean, June has become June into July, which we're almost into June now. On Saturday, we'll hit that. As the players come back, there's, you know, I've seen some projections about some five-star wide receivers and Longhorns in the mix here and there. I mean, there's a lot happening on the recruiting front. This becomes, you know, as the players move on in May for a month to get away, coaches hit the ground and really get after the recruiting trail. I want to see some fruits of that labor come June into July, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think Texas right now, with where they sit in their class, I think you can expect it to double by the end of July. And that's, of course, because of the efforts that will be set forth in June. Of course, this weekend is big for the 26 and 27 classes as well. But you'll see a lot of movement in 2025, especially with those five-star receivers, once the month of June really gets going. I know the timeline's been flooded with predictions, with comments, quotes, whatever, about DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett. Of course, Texas feels really good about all three. The question is, if you're a five-star guy and there's already two in the fold, do you want to be a part of that class? I'll continue to mention that because, again, it is worth noting, and it is worth, if you're a Texas fan, at least considering. Again, I don't think it's a nail in the coffin for Texas's chances to go 3-for-3. They, of course, need big-time wide receivers in the SEC. And, of course, they're in a great spot for all three. All three of them were on campus April 6th with KJ Lacy on campus, getting an idea of Texas, what it would be to play like together. And, of course, just hanging out, enjoying some food, hanging out with the coaches, and seeing what it was like around the city of Austin. I do believe Texas is the top team for DeCorian Moore and Jamie French at the moment. I think Texas is right there at the top for Kalik Lockett. Again, question is, do you want to go be a part of a three wide receiver class where all three are, you know, could theoretically be that bell cow number one wide receiver? That's the big question mark to me. Of course, I think those answers could certainly be, you know, found out at least by the end of next month. And I do think Texas is in a great spot for all three.
Wow. Okay. Well, we will certainly follow it here on the On Texas Football channel as we follow all things On Texas Football, the Tuesday live stream powered by Texas Electricity Ratings. Be careful out there. We're still dealing with storms all through the great state of Texas into the night. And, man, it's been crazy. You know, we'll tell you about Texas Electricity Ratings coming up. But, man, a lot of people losing electricity and dealing with all kinds of sticky situations here the last few weeks. But I hope you're doing okay out there on the On Texas Football channel. Guys, Steve Sarkisian did meet the media today in Destin, Florida, or Sandestin, at the resort there. First time Longhorn coaches have ever been to the SEC spring meetings. That's going to be an annual thing now ahead of spring media days. But obviously league business getting done, conversations being had. Jay Hartzell, Chris Del Conte, the coaches kind of meeting. And you know, they know all these folks in the first place. But at the same time, just formally being a part of it for the first time. And Steve Sarkisian, about noon today, met the media, talked for about 15, 16 minutes. Rod, you mentioned you saw it. I watched it today, too. And as far as like newsworthy stuff, I mean, Sark for the first time did to talk about the late portal entries to Texas for the first time. You're talking about Bill Norton from Arizona. You're talking about Jermaine Lole from Louisville. Also, Cole, the cornerback from the West Coast. I mean, he can really talk about those guys for the first time. What did y'all take from what he had to say about the rotation at defensive tackle? He talked about who could play over the nose. It was like Aaron Bryant. You know, maybe even Jermaine Lole could be a guy they could be versatile with where they want to put things. But they have three guys, Tia Savea, Lole, and Bill Norton coming in to join the group that was already there, obviously, with Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton, Aaron Bryant. What'd you hear from Sark today that was new as far as the guys that they brought in and his thoughts on them?
I thought, you know, obviously, I think Sark exhausted all possible options at D tackle. I mean, he brought in three guys at D tackle. So I think he's pretty confident that the guys that he brought in are going to at least be capable enough to make the, at least have the defensive tackle position, the guts of your defense, not be a liability. I don't know if it's going to be a strength like it was last year. I mean, last year you were the best D tackle duo in the country. I don't know if you'll be that, but the loss, the void there, maybe it won't necessarily be a weakness for you. And I think he's kind of confident now with the veterans, because these guys are veterans he's bringing in. Lole's a veteran, Bill Norton's a veteran, Tia Savea. These guys are veterans, man. These guys are old, established players, and you know, for different reasons, it didn't work out for where they were, and they decided they wanted to come to Texas. But they're veteran players and capable players, proven players, starters. And I think he's confident that those guys will at least be, like I said, they'll be effective enough to make it a position of, I don't know if it'll be a strength, but at least it'll competence. There'll be competence there because of all the positions of the veteran guys you have there. I don't know if he's right now confident he'll have an every down player at D tackle. Didn't sound like they have that. Now, they want to rotate guys either, but last year they had two guys that can play every down for you, early downs and pass rushing downs. Run downs, passing downs, didn't matter. Devondre Smith and Byron Murphy, both of those guys were war daddies, potentially in the interior D-line for you. I don't know if he believes he's got an every down defensive tackle yet. That's what's yet to be proven. You got capable bodies, you got veteran guys. Do you have a guy that can you can trust out there on first, second, and third down?
Interesting. CJ, your thoughts, because he did say he thinks Bill Norton is definitely a nose tackle. That's kind of where he is. He's going to play mainly at guard and over the center. Jermaine Lole gives you a little more versatility. Look at his film later in the year against Florida State. They moved him around quite a bit, gives us a little bit more versatility there. He can definitely do that. I think he's going to give us that. He then was asked about, players who can play over the nose. He mentioned Aaron Bryant. I thought he showed great growth this spring. I think he definitely showed flashes. Sadir Mitchell as well. And that goes to Rod's point. I mean, it's kind of going to be almost by a defensive tackle by committee at some level. I mean, and if Alfred Collins or Lole or any of these guys flash and become, you know, take that really big step that we've seen some D linemen in the last couple of years take here at Texas, that would be the goal. But you feel like you have six or seven guys you can rotate through there and man the position you need to, especially in a physical league like the SEC and with a game like Michigan on the schedule.
Yeah, definitely. And to the question in the chat right now, Norton will only have 1 year. He's already a six-year guy, so he's been around the block a few times in terms of his college degree. Hopefully he's leaving with a couple. But to the point here, I think Texas does have six or seven guys that they feel comfortable with in that rotation. Rod, to your point, finding that one to two guys that you can have as every single down on the field and, you know, kind of feel like you're not losing a certain aspect of the game, that's going to be key. And, of course, Texas does have to play a couple of up-tempo teams, not as many as maybe you would have faced in the Big 12, but SEC certainly still has them. And that's to see as they develop into a more air raid, throw it out conference, because it's been moving in that direction recently. Can you have a third down a defensive lineman in the middle of your line at the moment that still provides enough run coverage up front? I think right now, Jermaine Lole is a guy like that. I think you and Alfred Collins have some extended snaps in that room. But who else? You know, is it going to be a Tia Savea? Is it going to be a Bill Norton, a big boy up in the middle who may not have as many statistics or numbers or kind of eye-popping stats rushing the passer? How much will Kenny Baker help in that factor as well? That's going to be key, because it's all great if you have a lot of bodies. But when teams go up-tempo and you can't, you know, substitute, what good does that do, right? It's got to have that consistency and have those guys be well-rounded enough to play both the pass and the run.
Hey, Roddy, talk also about Javion Cole for the first time, the transfer in from San Jose State. And he talked about how he feels like he has a chip on his shoulder. That he, you know, was at Cal Poly, and then he, you know, kind of overlooked, one of those overlooked guys that made his way. Cal Poly, he overachieved there. Then he went to San Jose and was all conference and had seven interceptions. And now he's coming to Texas and he's got something to prove. I mean, those are the kind of guys you like. I mean, I know that it's corner, it's your spot, but those are, you know, those dogs that are looking to show everybody. No one, when you see him on the film, and I know you've broken it down here on the On Texas Football Channel, he's got athleticism, but Sark talks about how he likes the chip that's on his shoulder.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I mean, I have no idea why he was under-recruited. That's something maybe CJ has broken down and can analyze, because I know he's more of an expert in the field, of course. But I don't know why that was the case, because even when you watch him early on, Cal Poly, San Jose State, I mean, he still exhibits the same traits. Guy's got ball-hawking ability, really disciplined eyes, great at reading his keys, being really disciplined reading his keys. I love his off coverage, whether he's talking about zone, playing off in man. And he's one of those guys that ends up being in the right place because his eyes take him right to the right place. Coach Akita would always say, hey, man, your feet are going to go where your eyes go. His eyes are fantastic. And he ends up being in the right position a lot of the times because his eyes are disciplined, going from the number one read or the number one key, whatever it may be, from the number two receiver to the quarterback, being able to triangulate that in zone coverage. He's great at that. And I think in Texas, which plays a lot of match quarters, Texas probably plays as much, you know, match quarters coverage as any team in the Power Five. I mean, they're really high up. They're probably in the top five rate last season, you know, and they play that from an off position. And it, you know, for Texas, some of these players have had trouble being able to pass off routes in coverage, in match coverage, being able to, you know, keep up with the switch releases in match coverage, that kind of thing. He does not have that issue. My question would be, how much does he play press man? Because that's Texas, I think, next step coverage-wise. They want to be a team that majors in match quarters. That's from, you know, when Gary Patterson came, he kind of gave them his playbook, and PK's been a match quarters guy ever since. And now I think Sark has been pounding the table for the last 2 years. I want to play more press man. I want to play more press man. Why do you want to play more press man? Just football theory 101, just real quick. What's taking over football offensively? The RPO. What is the RPO? RPO is quick game plus the run game. It's a combination of the two. How you take away the quick game? You got to get up on these guys. You got to take away the initial release of the receiver, reroute them, redirect them, throw off the timing. You throw out the timing of the RPO, whatever the tag is. Man, trust me, quarterbacks can panic, even if they do have the numbers advantage. So that's why teams are now, you're going to see a resurgence of bump and run, because you're just seeing too much RPO game. One of the ways to disrupt that is to play more aggressive bump and run coverage. But everybody can't do it. Everybody ain't got the dogs to do it. Everybody ain't got the athletes to do it. But Texas should be one of those universities, along with Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia, that should be able to do that, because you should be able to recruit the type of athletes that can do it. So that's what they want to do. Now, what you want to be and what you need to be are often two different things, but that's what they want to be. And I wonder if Javion Cole can also be a press guy that can play press man. But I know he can play off man, and I know he can play off zone. He may be right now, in terms of playing off coverage, he may be at the top of the list of your corners right now, other than Jadae Barron, in terms of just playing naturally gifted eyes and discipline playing off coverage. That's how good I think he is from that perspective.
Wow. All right, Sark addressed that today. He also talked about CJ. They're pretty much done in the portal, but he did put the caveat that unless something changes, we're good. And that led to a conversation about their punter. They really like Michael Kern. They think you know, they're going to have a freshman punter and be good with it. A recruited guy that they identified, and you know, Sark was specifically asked about that, and they feel good about Michael Kern handling the punting duties after, you know, all the success they had last year with Ryan Sanborn coming in and bringing a veteran, you know, spot. But your thoughts on that conversation? I know punter is not a huge thing, but obviously in the Southeastern Conference, it can be a massive thing.
Well, Texas has seen it be a massive thing as of late, right? Of course, Michael Dixon wasn't too long ago. Ryan Sanborn did a great job last year as well. Texas will have the athletes to be prepared to make plays in the special teams, specifically at Gunner, right? We saw how important it was for Keaton Crawford and Keelan Robinson a year ago. The big part here is obviously getting the ball off, understanding when to be quick in your punts, in your release, in your steps. That's going to be the biggest, you know, I guess, step up in change and development in the game of Michael Kern, who, of course, I mentioned it earlier, there was only about 6 or 7 All-American punters in a given cycle, and he was one of them. He was down at the All-American Bowl down in San Antonio, showed off a huge leg, right? Like, that's exactly why he earned that All-American honor. So it makes sense for Texas to maybe withhold a little bit on that scholarship to a punter, maybe go out and grab another one, because you do have a really good, talented kid coming in from a great program, let's add, St. Thomas Aquinas. So he's been coached up. He's done the camps. He's done the All-American session as well. Now he's joining Texas this summer to, you know, kind of get acclimated to the summer conditioning, the summer workouts, whatever the strength and conditioning team has in store for him, as well as Jeff Banks, to get him ready for this season. So I'm looking forward to it. Of course, big-time guy, big-time leg. We got to chat with him not too long ago here on the YouTube channel. He got a bright brain on him. I'm looking forward to what he can bring, what kind of weapon he has in store for the Texas secondary or special teams.
All right. So a lot of high school recruiting, not a lot of portal recruiting, according to Sark, as far as the plan into the summertime as the players return here June 1st. Bobby Burton on his Twitter account, the On Texas Football Twitter account, had a tweet today that said, roster caps are the story of the SEC spring meetings. Since his roster caps are coming, but no one knows exactly how or when, driving force appears to be revenue share. What do you think about when you hear that? I mean, obviously roster caps, meaning, you know, you only have so many guys, and now you're seeing guys who are taking NIL deals and they're not on scholarship, Rod. They're just paying for their own way, which, you know, that makes the 85 scholarship limit moot at that point. If you can, you know, guys can just pay their way and they're not on scholarship, that makes it, you know, back in the old days when they just stockpile the best players, obviously the program's concerned about that. So according to Bobby, roster caps with the coaches are one of the big conversations of how you manage that, how you navigate that in this whole new frontier of college football.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, that's it's going to be a challenge. You know, to try to find a compromise here, because I heard Sark talking about the walk-ons and how the probably unintended consequences of all this is that, you know, walk-ons are in danger of ceasing to be a thing anymore in the new era, the new framework of college football with revenue sharing and all that. Like, and I know that's something he was passionate about. He talked about how his son was a walk-on. He thinks it's something that adds, you know, value to college football and to the experience of being a walk-on. That's one of the things too, in terms of the roster limit, but there definitely needs to be at this point. You're right. There are several schools, and I'm sure Texas is a part of it because this is the rules. It's not the spirit of the rule, but it's still the rule that you can have somebody make as much money that a scholarship would be worth in NIL opportunities. And they can just come to your school on NIL, which is not a scholarship, but essentially they're walking on, but they're making as much money as a scholarship player. So they get, they can pay for, you know, room and board and books and everything else on their own because of the money they're getting out. Now that's all, it's all actually within the rules, but is that the spirit of the rule? Probably not. I mean, that's more of a loophole, and it's great, by the way. Texas can take advantage of that loophole like a lot of universities can. But that's one of the things I think they're trying to do away with. So I don't even know what happens to NIL in the new framework of college football. Do they just become endorsements just like pro athletes? I mean, I don't know what is, because NIL was the compromise between, you know, basically paying the players and amateurism. And now, you know, you have revenue sharing, so you're paying the players. Do you even need NIL in that sense? So you just have endorsements. Like, I don't even know what that is anymore. I'm not sure they do either.
Yeah. I think everybody's trying to learn it. And, you know, we spoke with Trenton Halfley, who played football at Texas and now is a litigator and a lawyer dealing with all this stuff. And he said, NIL is never going away. I mean, that's the law of the land now. You're never getting that out for the players. They're always going to be able to, and that's not just football players, but that's all student athletes. they'll always be able to cash in on their name, image, and likeness and take those opportunities. Collectives, obviously, are the conversation, because that is kind of the fund of money, the slush funder, as some call it, and not true, you know, Quinn Ewers signs a deal with NetJets or Quinn Ewers signs a deal with X, Y, or Z. You know, that's name, image, and likeness, but the collectives with a pool of money handed out around the roster and around the athletic department are things that I don't think they go away. But, yeah, these are all – I mean, I think when you read about these spring meetings and coaches and athletic directors and presidents getting together, CJ, I mean, just like all of us, I mean, there's still – I mean, this agreement that was made, there's a lot more questions than our answers. Obviously, 2024 is going to be its own thing, but beyond that, everyone's trying to figure out what the pathway is to and how it's how it all plays out for their rosters, for their, because they want to work ahead of schedule. These are all things that everyone's trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, definitely. This is not an area of running a college football program that you want to be behind in, of course. Yeah. And for Texas, with all the resources, with all of the possible grounds in which you can have an advantage of over an opponent, you'd like to be at the forefront of what's to come in the world of college football. Unfortunately, no one truly knows what that means, right? We've talked about, you know, salary cuts, salary caps, you know, whether or not these guys not on scholarship can take NIL money. What does that mean for the future of NIL money? Well, it's a mess. And hopefully, again, this goes to our conversation about where and how the NCAA can step in, or, you know, does SEC or the Pac, the Big Ten can step in and make their own mark and set their own regulations, their rules, and everything that goes in the lines of that. So it's interesting. I think someone commented not too long ago, Nebraska's up to 95 scholarship players on the roster, with 10 of them or 12 of them taking that NIL bump and being off of scholarship. And at the moment currently, why would you not utilize that, right? We just saw Florida add a former five-star number one overall cornerback in the entire country without a scholarship. You know, you don't see that very often, rarely ever, I would argue, in the world of college football. So if those are the rules that are in place currently, again, I think you would be foolish to not bolster your roster and add depth by that reasoning and by, you know, that practice. So it makes all the sense in the world for me to at least venture down that road until something is set in stone for you to not be able to do just that.
Yeah, interesting. Yep, use it to your advantage while you can, and who knows how it's going to change or be available in the future. That is the right way to go. Also interesting, obviously now, I mean, Texas joining the Southeastern Conference along with Oklahoma, spring meetings happening. There was a nice photo I saw of Sark talking to Mike Elko, the new A&M head coach. Of course, the rivalry comes back finally after 12, 13 years off. That'll be in November the 30th. But, you know, of course, Sark was the offensive coordinator at Alabama when Elko was the DC at A&M. They know one another. That seemed very cordial. But I saw this, that A&M athletic director Trev Alberts, the new AD there, former player at Nebraska, former NFL player. I read this from someone who was covering the meeting. Says, quote of the day, or line of the day, from Trev Alberts, the A&M AD: "We've just always had enough increasing revenue to overcome dumb expenses. I've said it 100 times, and I'll say it again. We don't have a revenue problem in college athletics. We have an expense problem." And I know we've talked about this. I mean, you know, it was Jay Billis, I think, that tweeted out that, you know, 40% in D1, 40% of, you know, athletic expenses go to paying off bad contracts, coaches' contracts, and then buying out the bad coach and the staff that you hired. You know, Trev Alberts is saying something you like to say, Rod, a lot, the quiet part out loud, that we got to stop being dumb. We got to stop being fiscally stupid and just throwing money around and hiring bad coaches and coaching staffs, giving them guaranteed contracts and all these things. We've got to tighten the budget. We got to tighten the books. And if some of that money, that money's going to have to go to student athletes. But Trev Alberts embracing the idea that we got to be better at what we do fiscally and run this like a business. We've always had money to cover things when we were dumb. Now we don't have that luxury any longer.
Yeah, and I think you just said it, E. They're going to start treating it more and more like a business.
Yeah.
Right? They were able to hide behind the veil of amateurism. And some of their just kind of bad overall financial planning, bad overall management and leadership in college sports. And even with that, it still became a multi-billion-dollar arm of the sports industrial complex. Even with the mismanagement, the incompetence, all that stuff, NCAA, being a borderline criminal syndicate, it still grew to being this monster. And I don't think there's any stopping it. I do think now it's going to be a separation of the have and the have nots. But I think college football is about to become more popular than it's ever been. Yep. With the college football playoff, the consolidation of the brands, it's unfortunate. I don't know what's going to happen with the group of six and that, and like I said, most of the have nots. Because when this thing all comes down and you got to, you know, pay, you know, revenue share, and I don't know how, what that's going to cost, 20, excuse me, 20 something million dollars a year. I don't even know what, if a lot of mid majors to lower tier schools are going to be able to afford that. And I don't know what the rest, and then as a different level of football that y'all are competing, that's a different level of football y'all competing in. You know, y'all, as some of the group of five coaches have said, y'all not even playing the same sport anymore. At that point, when you throw in the money from the broadcast networks and that, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC are getting compared to everybody else, and then you throw in the college football playoff revenue sharing, and now you throw in the schools that can afford to pay the revenue sharing with the players and the schools that get the most NIL dollars and have the BMDs, the big money boosters and the donors, so they can pay the players through NIL. When you start adding up all those advantages, there's some of those schools ain't going to be playing the same sport anymore, man. No. And that's why you have schools like Florida State, you know, that's like, I got to get the hell out of the ACC or we're going to fall way behind and we got to do it now. And then there's schools like North Carolina that are thinking about it too, and they're trying to get out of the ACC because the Big Ten and the SEC are about to start playing a different sport, gentlemen, than the rest of everybody else. Period. Yep.
Different to get. I mean, without a doubt, that is coming, and it's going to be sooner than later. I think that is fair to say. It is interesting. Our friend Mike Craven with Dave Campbell's Texas Football wrote a story last week that kind of went national with, you know, some of the coaches at those G6 schools that you're talking about, Rod. Yeah. Talking about, you know, we need to start thinking about our own playoff and our own level and recruit to it. And you know, whether in North Texas or UTSA or UTEP, you know, we, you know, he covers all the schools in the state of Texas, including the Longhorns and the Aggies and those that are still in the group of four. But you know, even there, we've got to start being real here of how we're going to be able to recruit, understand the lay of the land and how this is going to be different moving forward. I think you're exactly right. And that's the conundrum, I think the people are trying to wrap your head around the fact it's never been more popular. It's not going to, it's only going to grow in interest, but at the same time, it is evolving at a warp speed and changing so dramatically at all levels. It's going to take real strong leadership, and we'll see if they can find that here moving forward, which will be interesting to me. Your thoughts on that, CJ, as far as just, you know, how this thing plays out, for crying out loud. I mean, it's, as Trev Albert says, we don't have a revenue problem at A&M. That's what he's speaking about, right? The you know, the groups in the Big Ten, the SEC, some of the schools, they're going to be okay. They compete at the revenue levels, which is what Trevor Alberts, I think, is speaking to. But at the same time, as Rod said, the haves and have-nots, the chasm will get wider and wider.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you start seeing how much money each school in, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten are bringing in because of their media rights deals. It's going to separate very quickly, and it makes sense. Of course, you look at where the best programs are in the country historically and currently in the current state of the, you know, college football landscape. They're all in those two conferences, right? Mm-hmm. You take most of those guys and just kind of look at it. Lay them all out. Where are all the big draft picks coming from? Where are all the national championships coming from? It's all two conferences right now. And that, I mean, it perfectly explains why Florida State wants out, why North Carolina is looking around saying, yo, do y'all have room somewhere else as well? You know, USC, UCLA, all those schools made this jump for a reason, because it's, you know, forecasting what will be the change and what will be the new landscape of college football. And that's, again, with two conferences kind of running the show, and, you know, you have your Big 12s and what's left of the ACC down the road to kind of figure it out.
I want to tell you that the Texas football live stream on a Tuesday night always brought to you by Texas Electricity Ratings. For all of y'all that are viewing tonight, we appreciate you being there. If you're still living in Texas and in the major cities with deregulated electricity, Dallas and Houston specifically and others, you understand that the deregulated market can be confusing. Can be great for you and your budget and just choosing for you, but you want to know which is best. And that's what Texas Electricity Ratings is all about. It's a shopping website, lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, which is huge, and find good electricity that fits your needs for your family. Also filters out the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that'll end up tricking you into expensive bills you don't want to be a part of. So if you're in the market for new electricity and a plan in a deregulated area of Texas, please shop Texas Electricity Ratings. That's Texas Electricity Ratings with an S.com /OTF for all of your electricity needs. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF, all of your electricity needs. We appreciate them very, very much on a Tuesday night and every night and all of their partnership here on the OTF channel. Hey, CJ, when the new video game comes out, who's going to be the highest rated Longhorn on the game? The biggest number.
Ooh, I mean, it's going to be one of two guys, right? It's going to be Kelvin Banks or it's going to be Quinn Ewers. I would have to imagine it's right around 95, 96. I wouldn't think that they throw anybody at a 99 right now, right? There's no returning Heisman. There's no one that is the clear cut number one pick for the next draft. I think you're going to see right around 95, 96. What Travis Hunter will be, that'll be interesting. Ollie Gordon, he'll have a pretty high rating as well. But those two guys for me are your clear 1-2 guy for the Texas Longhorns when that game releases. And boy, am I excited, I tell you that.
I can't wait to see or hear these kids and these players' reaction. I say kids, but because I have kids that are the age of all these college football players. But it's like, you know, how they're going to get mad or view their rating. I mean, this is going to be fun to watch here. I know it's July 19th, so we're about, 7 weeks away from it. But, those are the conversations going to be had. Everybody's going to rush out, buy the game, play it. But who are the highest rated Longhorns? How do they view the game? I mean, you think it's Banks or do you think it's yours? I mean, I would go Banks. If I had to put a bet, highest, biggest number on a Longhorn, which is the middle to upper 90s, best player, probably Kelvin Banks would be my guess. With Quinn Ewers second, and then we can go from there as far as the rating goes.
Yeah, I read an article that they had some help from the Madden folks too in making this. So because the NFL does their own deep dive research on rookies coming in for their game. So I'm with you. I think because Kelvin Banks is projected to be drafted higher potentially than Quinn Ewers, he is. But if I'm not mistaken, CJ, don't the modern games, I'm old school, so we didn't have updates when I was playing, but don't the modern games basically update real time? So Quinn Ewers is balling out and he becomes, like a Heisman, finalist, and is having the season that is going to justify him being the number one overall pick on the top quarterback. Wouldn't it reflect that? Doesn't it? Because Madden does that, right? Do they? Let me know if I'm
sorry. Madden updates them real time. Yeah. I haven't bought a Madden game in a while, but I know that you see the updates on social media, on Instagram, whatever. I would love for that to be the case. The problem is, you're dealing with, almost 100 schools looking for those guys and players to be updated. Now, maybe it's just quarterbacks, maybe it's just skill players, whatever it might be. That would probably be a little bit easier, but I would love that. It's a lot to ask for again, but hey, that game's going to make a lot of money when it releases, that's for sure. And I like that comment earlier up here. What's Arch Manning going to be? 817, Mr. Talk Too Much. 84, that's not a bad mark. He's probably going to be the highest rated backup quarterback in the game. But
what's the gap between him and Quinn? That's the real question.
Will it just be QB16, Rod? Is it going to be QB number 16? Because he didn't opt in. Remember, his name is not going to be a part of that.
You're right.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be pretty interesting how they go about that.
Yeah, and who's the highest-rated defensive player for Texas on the game?
Oh, man. Ooh. That Anthony Hill, maybe?
Yeah, he's definitely a candidate.
Alfred Collins, maybe?
Alfred Collins in the conversation, too. I can see them. Yeah, I can see. I can see them making a Jhené Barron case, too. It could be like three different guys on defense, potentially.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Texans have a lot of guys that are ranked, 80 and above, 85 and above, which is what the overall depth of the team and the talent of the team, but who are going to be the highest? And, those will become conversations as we move forward. That's July 19th. Do I have that right, CJ? That's right after SEC Media Days. I mean, I think it's 15th to the 18th up there in Dallas. Game's going to come out. I did learn this, Rod, as far as old school, new school. You can download an album and pre-record it or pre-order it
Yeah.
They'll download that game right to your system, man. You're ready to go. You're in. So I'm assuming the updates will come, but as CJ mentions, that's probably a dumb assumption because there's so many players and so many teams. But, man, they're all in on this deal. We'll take your thoughts on that here on the On Texas channel, who will be the highest-rated Longhorn. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, highest-rated receiver, is it Isaiah Bond? I mean, I'm assuming that's going to be Isaiah Bond.
And, that's an easy pick, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. When you're wide receiver one at Alabama, I think you get that nod regardless of who else is in the room, who else Texas has added. It just makes sense, especially with a lot of newcomers, a lot of rookie players on the team right now, quote unquote, who don't necessarily have that production on the field to back it up. And of course, it certainly helps being mocked in the first or second round of the upcoming draft as well.
No, listen, these youngsters like CJ, they'll never know the pain of having to go through the game and individually input all the players on the roster yourself. To go through the damn roster yourself and input at right cornerback number 21, boom, Rod B. Y'all have to know that. Y'all spoiled, man. Y'all are a spoiled generation. That's all.
I had it, Rod. Yeah. That was a part of my game.
All right, CJ remembers.
Back to what, NCAA, like 08, 09. I was playing it back then.
Okay, all right.
Hey, listen, all right. You're talking to somebody from the Atari generation who, if you haven't like blown into a cartridge that goes into the Nintendo case.
It worked every time.
Yeah, you blow that thing, put it in there, and then all of a sudden the game worked again. You know what I mean? That's the old school way of playing video games. And,
no doubt.
Getting after it. You know, obviously the CDs, you'd have to clean them off and they're scratched. Oh, it's all messed up. But not anymore, man. It's the new age and it's coming quick. And but I think, Rod, that's an interesting leap because I think that leads to what you just said, that with all the changes, all the challenges, this game is going to make college football more popular than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, it's amazing to talk to my nephews and my niece and a lot of kids that are my kids' age who love soccer simply because of the video game. And they've gotten into Premier League soccer. They've gotten into the MLS. Yeah. They learn it because they play the video game. They don't watch it on television. You know, college football is such a generational game and sport. But, you know, we've had a gap of however many years without the game. There's going to be a whole new crop of young people that – you know, CJ is young at heart, so he's going to love the game. But he grew up playing it. There's so many young kids who are going to come to this game, and it's going to influence and push the popularity of this sport. Now, however it looks at the top end and however they figure out all these things, that's going to lead to even more popularity for the sport itself.
Yeah, they basically kind of missed a generation of gamers too, right? That's, and now, you know, CJ's, you know, he's probably more in tune with the gaming world than I am, but they missed an entire, like, generation of gamers that's all they do is promote the sport through the game. They go play in tournaments, they're online playing it, they go and pack different arenas just playing that game for a tournament or something. It's crazy. I'm not into esports as much because I'm too old for it, but I know that it's a huge cultural thing, and I'm with you, E. I think now if you're a college football, now you can get, no pun intended, in the game with your new video game. And I think also you start, you know, looking at, you know, like some of the influencers and how, like, as I'm sound old here. But what was it? CJ probably knows. Was it iShowSpeed? Is that that's the one I'm talking about on YouTube? Who's the gamer? And I want to say he pivoted to soccer, like, as one of his main like the games to play, and like took his career took off because that's the most popular sport in the world, of course. But you know, these guys, they're the gamers out there that are slash influencers. I mean, all you need is like one or two of them to jump on the college football game, and then it becomes a new it game again. It already will, but I'm with you, man. There's a whole generation of fans. Like I said, I'm too old to recognize it, that they're going to miss out on with this group.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Rod, I don't play video games all too much. Those days are kind of behind me whenever I left college. You know, if a new Call of Duty comes out, maybe I'll play for about a week or two.
Yeah.
This game, I'm ready to play for a very long time. And UT boy, thank you for the UT for the UT super boy. Chat. Listen, I'm excited to play with Jonte. I know he's in the game. I'm excited to play with a lot of these guys as well. This is a game, and listen, I don't play any games, as I mentioned, but I'll watch people play games, and I used to gamble on the esports all the time, Rod. During COVID, there was nothing to bet on. I had to find something, you know. It was either Ukrainian ping pong because they were still playing that, or it's esports, and that's exactly where I went. I'm in the world of esports. I watch a lot of CSGO, you know, the League of Legends. I don't understand how to play the game. I've never played the game. Yeah. And I'll watch it and I'll gamble on it. And this I'm really excited about because this will be a sport I understand. This will be a sport that I love watching, college football. I understand the players. I understand the teams. I understand the concept of the game. I'm going to watch it all. Hopefully you and I will play a couple games. Hopefully we'll play some against some fun guests. We'll get some streams going in the midweek. That way we can just have the conversation, play the game, and just be immersed in the community. Cannot wait. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Man, we might have like a little tournament or something. Now you got me hyped about the game. And I know I'm going to be terrible at first because I ain't played this game in forever, but I'm going to have to get on the game. I do it because now CJ got me excited about getting on it too. I'm going to have to jump on a little bit. And I know how obsessive I am because I know from what I hear, you can make your own playbooks on these damn things. If I know me, I'm going to spend 5-6 hours I spend just making up my own damn playbook before I even get to execute any on the field. I'm bringing in Shanahan principles. I'm throwing in stuff from the air raid. I'm putting in my own little Steve Sarkisian, you know, playbook. And hell, that would take me a little while. And I heard that's actually something they can do in the game too. Yeah, Ukrainian ping pong. You may have a problem, CJ. You might have a problem. I agree with that, CJ. But we have to watch CJ.
It was COVID. What else would I have to do? Come on.
Read or some.
Yeah, it's a hobby. No way.
Single guy in COVID. What are you going to do? So I think you were. I'm assuming that, but just because that's where you are now. But CJ, you would pick the you think you're the better gamer is right, and that's how you would bet. Like is kind of like picking horses, like not even
basically,
knowing the game.
He's
better at the game.
More times than not, my mom says she's very proud. Mom, you don't have to lie, Mom.
Boom! Got him.
Come on.
Love it.
Oh, my goodness. But no, I mean, who knows how it'll go this year? And, you know, with Mom in the chat, I'm not going to gamble on NCAA video games, right? You know, unless I'm the one playing it. But no, this will be fun. This will be a lot of fun. Who knows how they'll set things up. But again, it's just a new way to connect with new audiences. It's a new way to immerse yourself with folks that watch the sport every weekend, have new conversations, everything that goes on to that. I'm trying to clean it up a little bit here, but no, I'm really excited for this, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, guys, it's going to be a good hour. Good times, good conversation. The spring meetings continue in Destin, Florida for the SEC. UT Boy wants to know, and thanks for the super chat. Wonder what CJ's going to do when Bond drops the ball every quarter.
I'm going to move my five-star freshman in. Come on, we got Ryan Wingo, right?
Hey, that's
throw him
true.
In there.
That's a great point.
Isaiah Bond's going to have great hands in this game. I already know it. That's absolutely that. – he'll have
him. Who's going to be the fastest guy on the team? Will it be Bond or will it be Blue?
It should be Jaden Blue. It should be Jaden Blue.
Yeah. I agree with that, too. Yeah. All right, boys. Good stuff. Appreciate it very much. Texas Electricity Ratings, thank you so much for bringing the on, empowering the On Texas Football live stream. Check out that website, TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. And if you're in a deregulated area of Texas, and as we said, more severe storms rolling through in Texas overnight tonight. So be safe out there. Take care of yourself, all those things. But we'll be back in the morning with the coffee and football conversation. Thank you, Mrs. Vogel. We appreciate you checking in and watching tonight. That was pretty awesome. Guys, awesome stuff. Rod and I in the morning, you guys get after it on coffee and football. Guys, you guys have a good week, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
For sure. Hook 'em.
Y'all have a good one. Hook 'em. Go Mavs.